2 a.m. following the work of the Midnight Ravers. Stay tuned for Back of the Book that comes up immediately, and there's a special Ecologic at 5-6, so you can tune in for that. 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 a.m. right here in New York City, and Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
Most probably about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All Waiting for the Supreme Court Shoes to Drop Radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this program, and you can find out a little bit more about them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. And when you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. And you click on that, and you will get to the web page we'll do for this morning's radio program. This is our 132nd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story for all news organizations throughout the multiverse this past week was, we have plummeted down to 120 followers on Twitter. Yes, we lost one. But still, 120 followers, a huge number that made news. Meanwhile, the owner of Twitter, Leon Scum, has had to backtrack on labeling some Twitter accounts as, quote, government-funded media, unquote, after an open letter from an international alliance of broadcasters protested this. He had also labeled NPR and some other media with that designation. The Global Task Force Group said that applying that label was contrary to Twitter's own policy. This Global Task Force organization says that it, quote, exists to promote and defend the values of public media, unquote. Leon Scum's big rocket blew up the other day, similar to what's been happening to Twitter since he bought it. And Mr. Scum has been taking away the blue ticks that show that a Twitter account has been verified. He wants you to pay him now. He said that some months ago that he was going to charge money for that verification tag. A number of well-known entities have had their blue verification tags removed, including Oprah Winfrey. She may have more money than he does. I don't know. Beyonce, the New York Daily News, and Elmo from Sesame Street. How dare they do that to Elmo? Pope Francis is also among those who've had their blue verification tags removed. Well, that means that I'm going to take this opportunity to declare myself Pope. Yes, I am the new Pope, Pope R. Paul, the first and only. Yes, I am now the Pope on Twitter. This also makes me infallible on matters of faith and morals. So I'm announcing that as of now, Holy Communion is out. It's being replaced by oral sex. So come and get it, faithful. Also, all donations will go to me from now on. And I'd like to thank Leon Scum for making it possible for me to usurp the papal authority. I'm seeing where the NAACP has tweeted, quote, "Have you heard? Today, Twitter launched the invisible checkmark. It verifies that you're not wasting money on Elon Musk. We're glad to feature it proudly on our page right here," unquote. Okay. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be on Wednesday, May 10th, 2023 at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The Centers for Disease Control website says that, quote, "Maps, charts, and data provided by CDC update Monday through Friday by 8 p.m. Eastern Time," unquote. So these figures are not as up-to-date as the Johns Hopkins data used to be, but it's what we have. The CDC website says that in America, the number of reported cases as of Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time was 104,445,294, and the death toll in America was 1,129,573. The CDC is saying that the death toll was 1,160 for this past week. That rate is coming down, but that's still a lot of people dying of this virus more than 3 years later. The pandemic is not over. Pickles of the North and I are mostly still keeping our masks on. We've both gotten our bivalent vaccinations, and we plan on getting our second bivalent booster shots very soon, now that those have been approved for old farts like us. We are not among those who are saying that getting a COVID-19 infection is like getting a cold. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course. This was all mostly preventable. We entered mid-spring this past Wednesday, April 19th at 5:51 p.m. That's a mere 9 minutes to 6 o'clock. The middle third is only a little more than a week away. Oh boy, the middle third is the middle third of the year. It's the months of May, June, July, and August. It's my favorite time of the year because it's warm and there's more sunlight. Oh, I like it. It's coming up. It ain't far away.
Well, R. Paul, this week I had to go for my checkup, and I had a good checkup, but I had an odd experience standing in line waiting to get checked up. And this is over down at Coney Island Hospital, which I believe they're going to change the name of to South Brooklyn, because it's not actually in Coney Island. Be that as it may.
I thought they were going to change it to Ruth Bader Ginsburg Hospital.
Oh, I got... Well, when I was there the other day, I found out that the new building, the great big new building that they put up, I believe they're finishing the inside of it, the outside is done. That's going to be the Ruth Bader Ginsburg building. I know. I thought the whole... I was very excited when I thought the whole hospital was going to be named after it. But alas, Not so.
I think they should leave it as Coney Island Hospital. You know, it gives the idea. You go there and you ride a roller coaster around through the place, and, you know, they got clowns running through the hall. Oh, I better not. Continue, my dear.
So I'm standing in line, and, you know, you have to go in, go up to the desk. They have a few people working at the little desks, and you register that you're there for your appointment. And it seems to be taking a longer time than usual, and I couldn't figure out why, because it was so early in the morning. But I get up to the desk, and I give the guy, you have a little, it's like a little booklet, and they have your information in it, and it's got your appointments, and you hand it to the person at the desk behind the plexiglass. And as he's doing stuff in the computer, I see this metal thing. It almost looks like an odd ashtray that's sitting on the counter where you have to stand. And so I look at that, and then I look and I start noticing that there are signs in many languages saying that this is their new security system. And what it does is it's a biometric palm print, and they want you to put your hand on this thing. It's got little grooves that your fingers go into, and then apparently an infrared light scans your palm and finds the veins, because apparently veins are as good as a fingerprint. And I thought, what the heck? Because this wasn't there at my last checkup, which was, you know, in fall of last year. And so all of a sudden, where did this come from? What is it? But the guy's not making me do it. So he just gives me back my little booklet, and I go and sit down, and then I can hear all the registration clerks complaining about this stupid new system. It's so slow. It's not working properly. So I thought, how did this happen? So I decided to, when I got home this week, to look on the website and see if there was any information. And boy, I found like part of a sentence. That's all I could find out about this, how it ended up at Coney Island Hospital. Let's see. It was New York Health and Hospitals Fiscal Year 2023 Annual Public Meeting, Queens, April 18th, 2023. Report by Dr. Mitchell Katz, President and CEO. He was talking about all the achievements that the hospital system had made, the city hospital system. And the quote is, in the last year, adopted palm vein scanners to improve the registration process. That was it. I couldn't find out what company this was. I couldn't find out who okayed this. I suspect it has something to do with our current mayor's love of all things robotic and tech. And this system has been around, that I was able to find out, since like 2007. They use it in Japan for different things. They use it in Florida for different things. And the thing is, they're not giving you a choice. It's like they say, oh, it's supposed to be faster. It says, I've looked just about biometric palm scans in general. The first time you use it, it's supposed to take like a minute. And then after that, when you come back and, you know, for your appointments, it takes 1 second. My goodness me, that morning, it certainly did neither of those things. So
you didn't actually put your hand in it.
Right then I didn't, but when I had to go down to the blood draw place, they made me do it there. They were making everybody do it there, and it's the room is full of people, old people, crying babies. It's just, you know, what are you going to do? So I did it because, you know.
Let me ask a fast question.
Yeah.
Did they clean it between people putting their hands on it?
No, what they had was hand sanitizer for you to use after you put your hand on it.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody in that room washes their hands often, especially after going to the bathroom.
I know.
That is very unsanitary sounding to me.
You are supposed to clean it off, and no. They have it set up so that you can't even clean it off. I mean, it's not like they had any wipes there for the person using it. They had a big bottle of hand sanitizer set up at each station for people to use after they put their hand on it.
Wow. This
Of course, I carry my own alcohol with me. What is it? Is it 90 proof? Is
yeah.
that, yeah. So
no,
that,
no, not 90 proof. It's 90% USP.
That's it.
That's
so
180
like,
proof.
Oh, well. So I used that. I did use hand sanitizer and that stuff because it's like, what? But gosh. So this is apparently a bunch of places have been using this, like Amazon, I think, and their stores were using this at one point when they had stores. It's just, it's supposed to make it so they say it's going to make things more secure. This is just in general.
Maybe. I mean, I wonder if the city hospitals will pretty soon have DigiDogs sitting next to it, forcing you to put your hand on there, and it'll digitally bark at you. This is the sanitary part of it is what gets to me. It's a hospital. They know
yes.
about the germ theory of
yes.
disease in a hospital, and they certainly in, I hope that in parts of the hospital, they're very scrupulous about cleaning everything off and disinfecting surfaces. But have something where everybody has to put their hand on the same thing over hundreds, maybe thousands of people a day.
And we are still, the pandemic is not over. So there's that too. I think that's why they didn't institute this earlier. Apparently they were planning on doing it, it sounds like. Because of the pandemic and, you know, but no, I not once while I was sitting the long times in each clinic that I was in, did I ever see anybody wipe down any surface or anything?
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Some hospital procedure that.
Well, one has to wonder about this. Yeah. And certainly in the general stuff I read about this system of identification, you are supposed to clean it. Apparently, they want to come up with self-cleaning ones, too. I'm not sure how that works, but...
Yeah, that'll always work. If there are grooves you're putting your fingers into,
yes,
those have to be really cleaned because any kind of... If it's a totally flat
yeah.
surface, you can probably get away with a fast wipe with alcohol or something. But if there are any kind of grooves... Germs get in there.
Well, there are different kinds of this vein reading system, and some of them you put your hand over it and you're not touching anything.
Oh.
The city did not invest in that kind of system.
I see.
So, yes, you are having multiple people putting their hand. Now, the privacy issue aside, they say they're not going to do anything but use this to let the clerks open your file and, you know, your information's not going to go anywhere else or anything like that. Or your veiny hand is not going to go anywhere else.
That's what they all say.
Yes, of course that's what they all say. But, yeah, it is a very germy system.
Wow.
I know.
Well, let's hope things improve there. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. It's Earth Day! Whoopee! Yeah, Oit Day. We saw a PBS program on people looking at the Arctic Ocean the other day, and the big ice sheets are gone. They said on this documentary that the Arctic is what's been keeping the planet cooler. But the polar regions have been heating up faster than the lower latitudes have been, and the big ice is gone at the north, so the cooling mechanism that's been mitigating the anthropogenic global warming that's been going on for well over 200 years now is almost gone. And the climate change effects we've already seen, warmer temperatures and stronger, more frequent storms, are going to get worse. Yeah, it's a climate crisis, all right, and there are still people denying it. And people still vote against having various things to deal with the climate crisis. And what do you do? I guess they don't watch PBS documentaries talking about the Arctic warming up and not being able to help cool down the rest of the place. But Jesus Christ, this is bad. I hadn't realized, and they hadn't realized, that it had gone this far. Every time I see something about the climate crisis. The people involved say, we hadn't known it was going to go this far. This is happening decades sooner than we'd expected. And it's not just about one thing. It's about everything that they're looking at to see what exactly is going on, to see how bad it's gotten. And it's gotten much worse. And I suspect that since the cooling mechanism, which involves the everything being icy up at the North Pole area, and then that water filters down to the rest of the world, cooling it down, with that gone, it's going to get much, much worse. Jesus Christ. And meanwhile, we keep seeing just about every day now, here this place over here had 8 tornadoes, and there's another giant storm coming in 3 more days, and it's going to hit them again. And some places really are getting hit with tornadoes over and over again. And certainly huge swaths of the country are getting slammed with these 1,000-mile storms. 1,000-mile storms used to be very rare. Then they became more common. Then they became flat-out common. Now we get them constantly, either weekly or more than weekly. And at one point we had a 2,000-mile-long storm. That may become the common thing too. And the thing with the 2,000-mile storm is these big storm fronts are interacting with the jet stream. They hit the West Coast and they inundate that. No more drought left in California, but now they have floods and they've got all sorts of other issues going on there. And it comes across America and it gets all of the tornadoes going, all these big tornado storms in April. They usually didn't used to get this early. And tornado season hasn't started yet. You've got a death toll from tornadoes. And then when it gets over by the East Coast, it hits, but it also starts streaming northward. So on the East Coast, what we're getting is not getting hit by just the front usually. We're getting hit by the front sliding up. So you could end up with having to wait for 1,000 or 2,000 miles of storm to go past you. Right now, we're getting hundreds of miles of those storms going over us. But at some point, the whole damn thing's going to go over us. So this is the new world we're living in. And I don't see us going backwards and cooling the place down enough to make it like the old days. I don't know if that's even possible. These things are very complicated. And so, yeah, on Earth Day 2023, we still have people denying that there's a climate crisis going on. And these people have kids. Some of them have grandkids. And don't they understand or don't they care that their children and grandchildren are going to live in a very different world, a world that's rather dicey because of the climate crisis? They're not going to be, some people aren't going to be able to live in some cities. And some people are going to have a very hard time living on some other areas. I mean, I don't know how the Mississippi floodplain is going to play out in the next 20 years or so. It could start flooding a lot, at which point, what do you do about that? I mean, rich people get flood insurance and keep rebuilding on it, but I think the government shouldn't give you flood insurance anymore. It's something where it says, hey, we'll pay you some money, but you can't build in that spot anymore. People will say, but I own that land. Yeah, well, okay, tell it to the fish. But yeah, it's very disappointing that the climate crisis is being met with the political skepticism of the right wing, especially. It's bad stuff. And, oh, well, we have to just keep talking about it and hoping we can get things to work out and changing how we do a whole bunch of things and keep on recycling and all that kind of thing. Meanwhile, this past week, we've had this plethora of people getting shot because they're lost. A kid goes up and knocks on the door to pick up his younger brothers, and a guy shoots him through the door, saying, "I was afraid because he's so big." Probably also because he's so black. And they said there is a racial, the prosecutor said there's a racial aspect to this case. And that's, you know, I mean, first of all, if he's so afraid, don't open the door. He shot him through the door, so the door was not open. And the kid is there, and what the hell? So this guy, he's 85 years old, and I guess he just feels that way. And he did something maybe he's wanted to do for years in his life, and he shot the kid. Luckily, the kid survived. A young woman in upstate New York was not as lucky. She was in a car with some friends. She was a passenger, and they were in upstate New York in a rural area, and they're driving around, and there's not a lot of signage, and there's not even a cell phone tower near this thing, and they're driving along trying to find a place where they're going, and they drive along an area which is a driveway, which is like a road that goes for a very long distance, and they drive along, and they say, "This ain't the place," so they turn around, and they're leaving, and this guy comes out on his porch and starts shooting at them. A young woman passenger, I think she was in the back seat, gets hit by the bullet and is killed. And, you know, and this guy's, "Oh, I have the right to do this." You know, really? Really? No. He's in jail, and he's going to end up going to trial. And I certainly hope that he gets a big, serious sentence from this. And, yeah, we're getting things like this going on. So many people feel empowered to do things to other people, and they have guns. If they were just, you know, without the guns, they'd be yelling, you know, "Get off my lawn, you kids!" They would be hollering things at them, stuff like that. Maybe they'd throw a rock, but, you know, they wouldn't be shooting people. And this is something that we're seeing that's a certain type of person. This type of person has been around, but now they're just showing up a lot. And why are they showing up a lot? I mean, people have made mistakes, knocked on the wrong door before, and not been shot because of it. But now we've got this going on. It is very strange, and it's troubling how America is going. And yes, it also speaks to the proliferation of everybody gets to have a gun. So as noted, we record this program on Friday night for airing on Saturday morning. And an example of the fact that we cannot tell what's going to happen between the time we record and the time you hear the program is that we are all waiting for the Supreme Court to rule on the fate of mifepristone, which is also called RU486, the abortion pill. This all started because a Christian anti-abortion group went to a Trump-appointed federal judge named Matthew Kaczmarek, and they got him to ban mifepristone by saying that the FDA didn't approve it correctly more than 20 years ago, or some such nonsense. Well, the Supreme Court is now going to release its ruling on all of this by 11:59 p.m. tonight, Friday night. And we can't wait for that, so we're recording before that. So by the time you hear this program, the entire world will know what that ruling is, but we don't. Will they ban mifepristone entirely, keep the ban on sending it through the mail, or what? I remember the right wing railing against judges making rulings they didn't like, such as Brown v. Board of Education, saying that the Supreme Court should not be legislating. Well, that's what's been going on here so far. And if they were going to do the right thing and just blow away those rulings on mifepristone and leave it alone, as people have been using it for decades, I don't think they'd be delaying their decision until midnight at the start of the weekend. So I am not optimistic about how this is going to turn out with the Supreme Court. And it's all so wrong. God. And this is all because Trump got in and got a big two-thirds majority of right-wing bad people. And because Mitch McConnell and the Republicans refused to hear a replacement for one justice because, Obama's term is almost up. And then with a lot less time left for Trump, they slugged in another anti-abortion right-wing creep. Yeah, this is the politics in America these days. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Yes, here we are on the WBAI pitching train. Yes, we're going to try and raise some dough right here, right now. Okay, folks. Pardon me as I cough on the recording. We are going to pitch right here. We're going to ask you to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. That's the name of this radio program right here, Back of the Book. And if you want to become a BAI buddy, you can do it now. A BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership here at WBAI. And what it means is that you sign up to donate on a regular monthly basis. And what you do is you call 1-212-209-2950. That's 1-212-209-2950. And you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And then when you tell the person at the call center that what you want to do is to become that buddy, and you tell them your credit card or debit card information so it can be charged, and you tell them how much you would like to donate on a monthly basis. It can be $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you have it. And you also tell them what day of the month you want your card charged. And so your card gets charged at a convenient time, and $10 a month, you probably could afford that, most people. Most people could probably afford $10 a month. Most. Anyway, and if you can't, but you can afford to donate something on a one-time basis, still call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to donate, make a one-time donation to WBAI in the name of Back of the Book. Please remember to mention Back of the Book, because management thinks we have no listeners, and we do have 3 BAI buddies, though, so they've had to acknowledge that. And they have to acknowledge that people do donate. So, 1-212-209-2950. Become either a BAI buddy or donate. Just donate. And for $25, you become a member of WBAI, and you will get to these very important upcoming elections for local station board that are coming up this year. I think in the next month or two, they're going to name the national election supervisor, and the entire prodigious mechanism is going to start grinding away. And also, if you want to run to be on the local station board, you have to be a member. So, yeah, if you can spend $25 in a lump sum, that's fine. That'll make you a member. And also, they're really pushing the BAI buddy thing, because that allows management to have a fairly predictable amount of revenue every month, and that does help. Because, you know, standing there saying, I wonder if we're going to get any money this month, and when is it going to come in? Is it going to come in at a certain time when we, you know, will we have it when we need it? Because bills come due at certain times. And it helps management to be able to say, we've got some revenue coming in here. 1-212-209-2950. And if you become a BAI buddy, you will get a WBAI tote bag, also known as a book bag to people who read. And yes, 1-212-209-2950, and become a BAI buddy and get that tote bag. Management has hinted at times that there may be something in the tote bag. I have no guarantee of that because they've just sort of hinted at that. I don't know. I hope it's not something you don't want to see. You know, I don't know what might be in there. Old radio programs. Old logs. Old logs of radio programs we did in the 80s, you know, and you'll see some of the old programs. And, oh, look at that. They got their old programs in here. Who signed on? What? Pacifica Tea Cat? How does the pussycat sign on to the log? Oh, well, we better not talk about that. 1-212-209-2950. Yes, WBAI is rollicking on here, and we need you to fund our rollick. Yes, we have to have rollick fuel here, and you provide it by calling 1-212-209-2950, saying you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And don't tell them about you want rollick fuel. Just tell them you're going to donate some money on a regular basis. That's all. 1-212-209-2950 is the number to call. And, you know, we do all sorts of stuff on this program. And if you like what we do, please, please call 1-212-209-2950 and donate. Either donate a lump sum or become a BAI buddy and donate on a monthly basis. I think a whole bunch of you could probably become BAI buddies. I wish you would. It would really help. It would also help all overnight programming because, again, as I've said, there are proposals coming out of various people in various capacities. I won't say which people or what their capacities are, who are saying replace the overnight programming from midnight to 6 a.m. with programming from someplace else. Rent out the station for 6 hours, 7 days a week. And that would annihilate the overnight programs. At midnight, bang, BAI would go away. Something else would show up. And you wouldn't get anything else until 6 o'clock in the morning. Good grief. So I think the overnight programs are an important thing. The late Robert Knight used to refer to the overnight programs as the rainforest of WBAI. It really kept things going. And yeah, I could agree with that. You can help keeping it going too by giving us some rollick fuel so we can keep on rollicking here. And rollick fuel is money. Call 1-212-209-2950 and say, yeah, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And we do some science things. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number now. Give us a call at that number as the WBAI choo-choo pitching train keeps going on. And we keep moving along and moving along. Please help us. Help us rollick. Give us that rollick fuel by calling 1-212-209-2950. Oh, there's a cow on the tracks. Oh, my. I want to mention something that was in the April 18th, 2023 Science Times. They're talking about an interesting thing here. The Next Generation Space Telescope, which is unfortunately named after a homophobe, has taken this interesting photograph. And what it is a whole lot of galaxies. And Then you can see a little arc on the side, a little arc, as if somebody just drew something, you know, a part of a circle. And what that is it's a telltale. It's an Einstein arc. That indicates that gravitational lensing was happening. And there's a gigantic galaxy cluster in the constellation Aquarius. And what happens is the light from a supernova is hitting it. But the supernova, of course, the light spreads out. And the light comes up to the gigantic galaxy cluster at different points. And it gets rooted around by gravity. That's why this thing is called a gravitational lens. And it gets rooted around in there. And what happens is it takes more time for some of the light to get through than for other parts of the light to get through, because they take different paths. And what they have in the Times here are photographs of a supernova next to some galaxies. And they can see the supernova, and it's at various times. And one of them just shows the supernova. The other one shows it about 320 days later. And the other picture shows it 1,000 days later, because the light took different routes through through and past the galaxy cluster. And it's just interesting to me that you can see something like this, especially because this occurred 9 billion years ago. So about twice the age of the sun and the earth, about twice that time. So the planet Earth didn't exist yet. The sun didn't exist yet. The solar system didn't exist yet. Whatever we came out of was, who knows in what condition, 9 billion years ago. That's pretty wild stuff, I think. And I thought it was worthy of mentioning, and it is really wild that space-time can do this kind of thing. But this is what it does. And yeah, if we didn't have Albert Einstein to have explained all of this over 100 years ago, we'd be saying, what the hell are we looking at? Well, we got some political stuff going on, as if we haven't had that going on forever. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced this week that he's running for the 2024 Democratic presidential nomination. He's going to run against Joe Biden. Apparently, he's campaigning mostly on his father's and uncle's terms in office, because he ain't got much to run on for himself. But this is not a 1960s Kennedy who's running. He's a big anti-vaccination disinformationist, and some of his own family members have denounced his lies about the vaccines that are being used to fight COVID-19. And, of course, in the past, he's done ads for Venezuelan oil companies. Oh, man. And, well, what's happening now is he says he's going to run against Joe Biden. And even his own family members are very disgusted with his anti-vaccination disinformation campaigns. And, well, he really sounds like one of the Republican nutcases, because they say the exact same thing he says. So I don't know. Maybe the next thing he'll do is claim, yeah, Trump is really president. Who knows? He certainly is not someone I would vote for.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Speaking of Republican nutcases, that guy who patented a pillow years ago and went on to advise Donald Trump to use his presidential powers a couple of years ago to declare martial law in order to stay in office, has been ordered to pay $5 million to a guy from Nevada who successfully disproved his 2020 election lies. when the pillow jerk was showing off his claims that Trump had won the 2020 election and issuing a challenge to prove him wrong during a South Dakota gathering of Trump supporters. He said, quote, "There's a $5 million prize for anybody that can prove the election data that I have from the 2020 election is false, is not from the 2020 election," unquote. One Robert Zeidman, a Trump supporter, took up the challenge and claimed the prize. He says, "I got the goods. I've got the proof right here," and he showed it, that this isn't about the 2020 election. The data is, there's no data there. And so he claims the prize. When the pillow jerk refused to pay the prize, predictably, Zeidman took the case to arbitration, as the contest rules stipulated. So this was an actual contest this jerk set up. He had to have known that it was all fake. But he said, $5 million, it is a contest, and the rules are, you know, it goes to arbitration if there's any kind of dispute. And so this guy took him up on it. And, of course, pillow jerk doesn't have any information on this. He doesn't have real stuff. He has fake news. And so they went to arbitration. After a three-day hearing, the arbitration board ruled in favor of Mr. Zeidman. The pillow jerk says he's challenging that ruling in court. Well, I don't know. Maybe he'll get a Trump judge who doesn't care about the law or anything else and will say, "Oh, you're in favor of Trump?" Well, but they're both in favor of Trump. So, well, maybe he'll just say, "Hey, you know, give me some pillows under the table and I'll find in your favor." Sort of the way some other judges work. Anyway, so he's going to challenge the ruling in court. What a welcher pillow jerk is. Yeah, he's going to definitely be in court with his pillows soon. I guess he's going to get to sit on his pillows for quite a while in court. And he's facing a $1.3 billion defamation suit filed by Dominion Voting Systems over his bogus claims that the voting machines were rigged. So a $5 million prize to this guy is going to be nothing compared to what's going to happen when he has to fight Dominion in court. Speaking of such antics, this week, of course, Dominion Voting Systems and Fox News settled their lawsuit for a bit less than half what Dominion had sued for. I'm not pleased with that. The settlement gave Dominion $787,500,000. That's a lot of money, but I think it's unfortunate that they settled. I think they should have gone for it and dragged it through the courts, and they would have won, I'm pretty damn sure. I really wanted to see a trial with those Fox News people and Rupert Murdoch getting grilled about their lies. And, you know, this is what you said on the air, and they could play the audio. And here's what you wrote to everybody. This is all bogus. It's nonsense. And, yeah, malicious lying. And so, oh boy, there you go. But we're not going to see that, unfortunately. If the pillow jerk settles the same way, he would be out about $639,843,750. I wonder if he could afford that. That's a lot of silly pillows. And he sells other stuff as well, but he's the pillow jerk. But wow, you know, and it's amazing to me that these people, these right-wing jerks, keep showing up and saying, "Hey, we're gonna make a challenge and a claim." And they're so used to lying that they think they could say, "And here's a contest. And there, you know, go ahead, try and prove me wrong." And then when they're proven wrong, they don't have to pay off. Wow. It that just really falls in line with all the other crap that these people do. It's just all lies, nothing matters except for them getting their own way. And these are like small children trying to do things and get away with them. It's exactly the same. I guess these people were all brought up badly. But, we will not be able to see Fox News going to court in this. I'm disappointed. Some people say it might be good because anytime you have a media company getting into court about what was said, it can kind of get dicey about the ruling. And then there are some people saying, you know, there is a rule. There's a rule that comes out of a 1964, I think, case against the New York Times, which I had to defend the losing side of that in college at one point. I remember getting the photostats of the decision. We didn't have photocopies in those days. We had photostats, which is basically white printing on black, because that's the way it could come out. That's the way they could print these things in those days if you made a copy. Called a photostat. You don't see that stuff anymore, although you could fake one on a computer, of course. But anyway, I remember that case, and oh man, that was a very big thing. It said Supreme Court ruled that even if the media company makes a mistake, unless it's malicious, it's okay. So you have to prove malice, and obviously it would be pretty easy for Dominion voting systems to prove malice for Fox News, since they're saying, boy, we're lying on the air here. What a bunch of lies. The people we have on, whom we're really giving a lot of credibility to for saying things, they're a bunch of nutcases. They're Looney Tunes. And, you know, you put those two things side by side, and I think you can probably convince a jury or a judge that there's malice going on here. And so, yeah, Fox would have lost. Now, the pillow jerk, I think, will also lose in court. And I wonder how much he'll have to settle for. Or will he be really obstinate and say, I'm gonna fight it all the way to the Supreme Court. That's the way he talks. And will he do that? And hoping that the Supreme Court will say, look, we don't give a rat zinger what the hell the law says or the facts of the case or anything else. You're on Trump's side, and we're going to go along with you, pillow jerk. And maybe, you know, he'll throw them some pillows to sit their asses on. But, yeah, that thing's going to be interesting. So we still have the possibility of pillow jerk having to go into court. Another case of fishy financial declarations regarding reported income has been discovered from Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas this week. Thomas has been claiming that he was paid between $50,000 and $100,000 annually by a Nebraska real estate company that's set up by his wife, Ginny Thomas, who has been very active in the efforts to overturn the 2020 election. Turns out that the company he claims was paying him went out of business in 2006. Raises the question, where the hell is this money coming from? $50,000 to $100,000 a year? And it's been out of business for 7 years? Where has that $50,000 to $100,000 come from for the past 7 years that's been flying into this guy's pocket? Oh, that's a question. Meanwhile, Thomas reportedly has told associates he will file amended disclosure forms to cover what sure looks like graft that he's been collecting from Texas billionaire and Republican mega donor Harlan Crow. Justice Thomas had said that he'd been told that the vacations were, quote, personal hospitality, unquote, that did not need to be reported to the Internal Revenue Service. That's a hell of a lot of hospitality, let me tell you. Jesus H. Christ. I mean, How? Oh, it's just mind-blowing. He's a Supreme Court justice, and he's pleading ignorance of the law. Oh, well, maybe he's right. Maybe he is ignorant of the law. Could be with that guy. That's been it for Back of the Book. We should be back next week. Coming up next is...
Oh, it's Ecologic's two-hour Earth Day special with Ken Gale, Donna Stein, and Sally Geller.
Yeah, it's Oit Day. Take care of yourselves. Enjoy mid-spring. It can be so nice with the flowers coming up and stuff, and the weather could be nice. And above all, remember what that watching out that he doesn't ring the wrong doorbell dormouse said.
Earth Day, but on April 22nd, even mainstream media gets the message, but they focus on kids and litter. You know it's more than that.
Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, has an extended two-hour special this Saturday, April 22nd from 6 to 8 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
We'll have environmental music and we'll take your phone calls. Please join us this Saturday morning.
Farmer, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, or leave me the birds and the bees. Please don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Sadly, on March 31st, 2023, Judge Lucretia Clemens denied Mumia Abu-Jamal his legal right to appeal his conviction despite newly discovered evidence demonstrating key witnesses were bribed or given favorable treatment to testify against Mumia, the veteran Black Panther and renowned journalist then and now. The Free Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition joins Love Not Fear in Philadelphia on Sunday, April 23rd, 12 noon, as we say no justice, no peace until Mumia Abu-Jamal is released. To secure your seat on the bus to Philadelphia to stand with Mumia as he has stood with us for 41 years, call 212-330-8029. That's 212-330-8029. Or visit bringmumiahome.com for further details. That's bringmumiahome.com.
Photographer Kwame Bratwith, brother of our beloved Elambe Brath, will be formally sent home in a ceremony on Monday, April 24th, as Mumia turns 69. The viewing will be at 9 a.m. and the service 10 a.m. at Harlem's Abyssinian Baptist Church, 132 West 138th Street, also known as Odell Clark Place, between Adam Clayton Powell and Malcolm X Boulevards in Harlem. That's Monday, April 24th, 9 a.m. for the viewing, 10 a.m. for the service, Abyssinian Baptist Church, 132 West 138th Street or Odell Clark Place, between Powell and Malcolm Boulevards. Please wear a mask. Kwame Bradwith, presente.
Looking back through time, we are in debt to the...
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me. And I thank you.
I thank you.
Let's say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Thank you, people! Thank you!
I'm Melvin Brooks. You are listening to WBAI New York.